Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Our guest is Judge Pat O'Brien. He is trying to unseat Kim Fox in the Cook County State's Attorney's race. Picked up a couple of high-profile endorsements, too. We'll ask him about that. But, sir, thanks for joining the program this afternoon.
And thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
Well, I'm happy you called in. We also extended an invitation to Kim Fox, and we'll talk with her too if she would like to be on the program. But so your background, people less familiar with you, even though you've been around a long time in high profile positions. You've been a judge. You worked in the state's attorney's office twice in two different occasions. And how do you view the way things are currently being handled? I would think that, and I've heard that you have a lot of ideas of how you would change things.
Well, I jumped into this race because I was very upset, first of all, by Jesse Smollett, how that was handled. But looking at the office, after seeing that, I found that the problems went much deeper and that Kim Fox essentially has decided to abandon what the purpose of the state's attorney's office is, which is to protect victims and to make the community safe. She's not doing that.
One of the things that she is saying in the wake of the most recent bout of looting downtown is that she is charging people with felonies. Her office is following through with that. She hasn't been as lenient with bond anymore. And that she feels, she has a social responsibility to be cognizant of the past, and that sometimes people were put away for reasons that they just simply couldn't afford bond and that they were nonviolent crimes and that kind of thing. And so she's about social justice, and she says she can also be about public safety. Do you think that that's true?
I think that under the guise of talking about social justice, she ignores the law. And it's not about putting people in jail for financial crimes. It's about holding people accountable so that they understand and you can basically change their behavior. And as for violent crime, I have no idea what she's talking about. If she's concentrating on that, then God help us all.
So the Tribune investigation found, and I know you saw seen this and you've been talking about it, they found that in her first 3 years as the county's top prosecutor, her office dropped all charges in 30% of felony defendants. And that was much higher than her predecessor. 25,000 felony cases total dropped. Bond is another issue that comes up regularly. She has argued in interviews that we don't set bond, the judge does. You've been a judge, and I know in court the prosecutor can make recommendations for bond. Is that right? Tell me what's wrong with it when she says that we have no sort of that's not up to the prosecutor.
Well, let me kind of point out that the state's attorney is the most important player at each level of the process. The police can't charge felonies. Only the state's attorney can. The police aren't there to recommend bond. Only the state's attorney can. And the police aren't there to basically bring a case to trial and argue it in front of a judge or jury. Now, what she has done on bail essentially is to have no voice in the courtroom. Her assistants remain quiet while people that were arrested for looting back on May 31st were put back on the street within hours to rejoin an active looting scene. So to me, whatever she's doing now, too little, too late.
Mm-hmm. I think, what do you make, though? I think one of the things that was very compelling when she first ran for office, one, was that Anita Alvarez was sort of tied into the Laquan McDonald scenario, and I think a lot of people looked at her as being part of that sort of city and county system that tried to cover up that whole thing. Whether that was right or not, you can make up your own mind. But secondly, I think people heard her talk about social justice, and that for too long we have put away black and brown people and poor people, frankly, of all colors, simply because they cannot afford to bond out. They do something nonviolent, and they're stuck kind of just sort of sitting in the county jail. And it didn't make sense to most people that that was happening, and I think a lot of people were on board with that. Are you, do you see that point that she was trying to make?
Well, I see the point that bond should take into account a person's past history and the crime they're charged with. And I would not be in favor of keeping a person who doesn't have any past criminal history, who is being arrested for a theft or other low-level crime, keeping them in jail on a low bond. I would be for putting them on a bond that they can make, or putting them on electronic monitoring and monitoring their behavior until trial. But part of this is you've got to get cases to trial quicker. And when she talks about putting poor people or people in jail because they can't make bond, she's not putting anybody in jail. And she is not watching the people that are on electronic monitoring. So when they break their confinement, she, in effect, is not bringing that to the judge's attention. And there are more people that are committing crime on electronic monitoring than ever before, and there are more people on electronic monitoring than ever before. So she isn't helping on the violent crime, and she's ignoring the ability to basically, on a financial crime, to look at somebody and say, there's going to be a consequence, it's not going to be jail, but we want you to stay out of the system, and we're going to watch how you behave so that we can essentially can change the way you act.
I've heard that those are pretty fairly easy to break, the electronic monitoring. And we get why during a pandemic, crimes that might normally not allow you to go out on an ankle monitoring system were suddenly becoming an option to some judges who saw that that might be the answer. However, the practice has been, we found that something like 1,000 of the 4,000 people who were out on these electronic monitoring bracelets were not even being monitored, and some of them had broken them or had, I guess it's fairly easy to do, I don't know, but that there was a way to get around that system, and certainly people with bad intentions were doing that.
Well, it's not just the breaking of the monitor. Right now, there are over 3,500 people charged with various crimes, including violent crimes, who are out on electronic monitoring, which is a bracelet system. That bracelet system only would go off if you leave your residence. And you do have permission to go seek a job, work at a job, go to school. There are lots of ways that you can be out and about. But there's no one that monitors you when you're out and about, because the system doesn't have a global positioning. So somebody can be on electronic monitoring, say they're working, say they're looking for a job, say they're going to school, and they could be back out in the street corner or elsewhere with a gun, selling drugs, committing crimes. And the state's attorney doesn't have any understanding of how to monitor these people. And even when she does, I'm told that there's been over 300 or more cases for the violation of electronic monitoring, which is considered an escape, that she has just dismissed.
She's taking a lot of criticism for how she's handled the violent protests and the rioting across the city. And you've heard the superintendent, you've heard the mayor point a not-so-subtle finger in her direction in terms of saying that this is part of the problem when you don't have consequences. People think that this kind of behavior is okay, and they have pointed that finger in her direction. I want to ask you, do you have a minute here? I want to come back with, rejoin with you, Judge O'Brien, ask you how you would handle the violence on the streets differently, how you would handle violent protesters if you were Cook County State's attorney.
I'll stand the line.
Judge Janet O'Brien would like to be the next Cook County State's attorney. He's running against Kim Fox in November. I got to ask you, Judge, what would you do differently about the looting and the violence you've seen in terms of the protests alone? Just that piece of things, violent crime across the city is another issue altogether. Hopefully we have time to get to that. But what would you do differently than what's being done now?
Well, I appreciate the question. First, obviously I want to say that people who are protesting and exercising their First Amendment rights, they will be protected. And that's all as it should be. But the looters and the rioters, the first thing that I would have done is to, when this was coming, if you saw it coming, or after the first day, is get on television and tell people that if they're going to break the law by looting, by battering police officers, by burglarizing and breaking into stores, they're going to be prosecuted, and they're going to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. And anyone that was arrested for those crimes, when they appeared in court, my assistant state's attorneys would indicate to the judge that this is an active civil unrest looting scene. It's a no bond recommendation on the looters and the burglars and the people who have battered the police. Set the case for a couple of days in advance so that the judge can reevaluate that bond and hopefully after the civil unrest is under control. In addition to that, I would have had assistant state's attorneys in with the police department during the where they're essentially monitoring the city so that they could assist the police in gathering evidence at the time that the persons are arrested.
It's interesting because it seems to make a lot of sense what you're proposing. It really doesn't. It feels as if, based on the criticisms, her office started to do things slightly differently. Is that just me, or have you noticed that too?
Well, what I noticed is that the closer it gets to election, the more someone who has made multiple mistakes, shown a lack of judgment and a lack, essentially, of integrity, they will pretend to be, I guess, how can you be a sheep in wolf's clothing? Is it a sheep in fox clothing? They essentially pretend to be something they're not. And if she were to get reelected, you can imagine she will go right back to the problems that she's caused.
The special prosecutor's report, Dan Webb, on Kim was not becoming. It basically talked about how she had misleading statements, she mishandled things, she had an amazing lack of discretion, misconduct. It wasn't criminal, didn't rise to that standard at all, but sort of a top-to-bottom mishandling it. I really don't care about Jussie Smollett anymore. I hope he goes away. I don't want to hear from him, but I do care about the integrity of the office. And when you're blatantly lying to the folks when you're trying to present things about what has happened and what has occurred, when you say you recused yourself but you really didn't, when you say all these things happened, you didn't have contact with him or any of his associates after he became a suspect from a victim, and that's not true either. He had multiple exchanges with folks afterwards, it starts to make you feel as if there are different standards for different people within the justice system that she has created. And I just wonder, that there is no perfect equity, though. Is that always the case from your experience in the Cook County State's Attorney's Office? Is there always sort of prioritization of who gets what? Jussie aside and that whole egregious sort of thing that happened.
Well, if you can point to it with other state's attorneys to such a degree as Kim Fox, then those people should have been investigated by someone like Dan Webb also. What I would say is this. The state's attorney represents all the people. He doesn't represent Republicans or Democrats or black or white or brown or Asian or rich or poor. All the people. No one is above the law and no one is beneath its protection. And every lie Kim Fox told was an attempt to try to convince people that the one-of-a-kind deal she gave as a political favor was somehow okay. And I think, as we all have seen, it wasn't okay. She lost her integrity. She can't get it back.
Well, we'll see what happens in November, Judge. Appreciate your time this afternoon, and keep us posted on things happening. We appreciate it.
Thank you, and I appreciate you having me. Thank you, Anna.